Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful poets from all over the world, and welcome to Keeping It Brief, where we delve into wonderful brevities. I am Naomi Sarah, and with me today are my beautiful co-hosts, Diane D, which will be probably with us shortly, but for now we have Weaver of Dreams, Kate. And how are you doing today, my dear Kate? Hello? Hi, Kate. Am I on? Oops. Lost Kate, I guess. Well, we will just continue on. And, so hello, Kate.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, my God. Honestly, panic. I hate it. Jeez, at my age. Come on. Hello.
Hello. So wonderful. Yeah. What happened? Did you fly into the Twilight Zone there?
I think I did. I really think I did. This is incredible. I had I had checked everything, but you know what I did? I thought, this is a very long lead on this mic. So what I'll do is I'll slip it through the handle of my dressing table, and then it will be closer to me. So I unplugged it, and then I put it through, and I plugged it on again. Nothing. Gordon Bennett. Oh, my
God. Technology, eh? Oh, my gracious. And I know Diane is, you know, her computer, something happened. Her computer just broke down. She messaged me and, you know, she's having trouble, technology problems too. Oh, my gracious, these computers, I'm telling you. So hopefully she'll be able to join us later on. For now, I guess it's only me and you, my darling. And perhaps we'll have, like, I don't know, maybe perhaps Miriam will phone in or we'll have other callers, maybe. But, so we'll just have a party. Have a party, us two. And I know Pam is in the background with coffee and donuts. So,
lovely. Oh, yes. We'll do it, darling. We will do it. We may bore the populace, but we'll do it.
let's get in, delve into this wonderful poetry for everybody that's listening. Thank you, and we're really happy to delve into your poetry. Oh my gracious, just see what you first have on the board. We have our Phil. Wow, yes. Our Phil, my eyes, that does so much for all these shows, putting the boards together, putting up the radio links, putting up our audios and whatever, you know, all the stuff, wonderful stuff she does to make these shows work. So, really looking forward to reading mm-hmm. Phil's poem.
Right. Now, would you like to read this?
Okay, let's go. Beauty to Behold by Fill My Eyes. When the sun has softly settled and the moon comes out to play, there's an overwhelming calm that settles on each day. There is a certain silence when stars begin to dance as they meet up in the deepest night. Such a beautiful romance. Breeze becomes their music as they dance up in the sky. The darkness is the back and the clouds go drifting by. Heaven surely watches as perfection does unfold. Sparkling gems up in the darkness are a beauty to behold. End poem. Oh, what a beautiful write. Oh, my gracious. I love it. And you know, it's so true. You know, when you lay on your back and, especially in the summer here, because then you'd be wet lying in the snow, especially at nighttime and cold here. But I mean, you know, and you see all those stars, oh my gracious, it just takes you to another place. And I think Phil captivated that moment, that feeling of, you know, of the heavens here in this poem. What did you think, Kate?
Oh, yes, this is just beautiful is the word for this. It's just so, I found myself calming down, which for me is very unusual. So beautifully written, and that just, I envy the ability to make something that not only captivates or writes something that not only captivates but has an effect on people. And I love that last stanza. Heaven truly watches as perfection does unfold. Sparkling gems up in the darkness are a beauty to behold. Beautiful. Yeah. That's 10 out of 10 from me. Hello?
Oh. I'm on mute. The first of your first mal what do you call it? Malefiction or anyway.
First button. You are mutating.
Just wonderful here, this poem by Phil. So, you know, just wonderful, right? Okay, so where do we go on next, Kate?
Next we have, there we have, look at this, I'm doing it, hat trick. This is A Night of Enchantment by Pam Gray.
Oh, so we have Pam. Oh,
well, I give you all the biggies. Don't you worry. Everything's here. Okay. I'm going to write this. Now, I apologize if my voice goes because I'm having real problems with it, as in I'm using it.
Oh,
which I
no.
Don't normally do.
It can't go. It can't go.
Oh, my goodness.
Hang on, voice.
Please, I'm going to talk slowly and softly and not aggravate my vocal cords. I don't have any left. Okay, oh, no, I'm going to read this if you don't mind, because I think this is going to be absolutely wonderful, and I don't read anything beforehand, so it's a lovely surprise. Oh, that picture. Oh, fairies. I love them. Okay, here we go. Be serious. Shadows intertwine with light in the mystic moonlit night, where fae folk sing, love, and dance to music that will long enchant. Past the rising of the sun, when fairies dream of impish fun. End poem.
Oh, isn't that so beautifully put? I mean, you know, when fairies dream, you know, past the rising of the sun, when fairies dream of impish fun. Just such a beautiful, you know, rhythm to this whole thing, and a dreamlike quality that inhabits every line. So beautifully put. Oh, my gracious. This is just an amazing brevity here. You know, and talk about emotion. You know, this does, you know, create a mood for sure. Wow. What did you think, Kate?
Absolutely beautiful. I mean, just to be able to instill so much into so few words by writing so few words. I thought it was wonderful. But I was an admirer. You know that. But The Night of Enchantment, good heavens. Beautiful fairy. But I'm just going to keep this one just to look at it and enjoy it. But I thought it was beautifully written. Yeah, definitely beautifully written. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Wonderful job, Pam, and you know, and Phil both. You know, Phil made us visit the heavens and the stars, and then Pam put in the phase there to join in. So wonderful job, girls, both of you. So Weaver of Dreams, Kate, where do we go on next?
We have Mermaid in the Style of Keats by Stelina. Would you care to read this one?
Oh, wow. You know, from Faze, we go to Mermaids. This never stops. The heavens, the Faze, and now the Mermaids. Okay. Mermaids in the Style of Keats. Nubil Siren. Cascading locks of spun gold draping your beauteous form in the salty spray, moonlight caressing your alabaster skin so cold, gazing at the stars as seductively you lay, deity of the deep, enticing sailors with your cry, aroused by tremors of ecstasy and lust, who cast from their vessels in tempestuous seas onto the rugged rocks are violently thrust, perished in the gelid wind's mournful sigh, as with this enchantress of the ocean they lie, pallid in the rosy dawn's whispering breeze. End poem. Oh, wow. You know, this is stunningly written. Selena, my gracious, you know, what beautiful descriptive words throughout. And, you know, written in that old, like, language, you know, to respect, yeah, the style of Keats, she says, which, you know, she's already said so many times that Keats is one of her favorite poets out there. So beautiful, beautiful job. I just love, you know, how each of these lines flow just so beautifully into the next. And what did you think, Kate?
Oh, just a wealth of watery wonderment. That's what I think. Absolutely beautiful. I do like a good siren, and this looks like a very good siren. Really beautifully done. Moonlight caressing your alabaster skin so cold, gazing at the stars as seductively you lay. Deity of the deep, enticing sailors with your cry, aroused by tremors of ecstasy and lust. Oh, where would we go without a little bit of lust? Beautifully done, Selena. I loved it. Really, it flowed so well. I could feel the tide coming in and out. That's how good it was. So.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, that's a great, wow, that's an awesome comment there, Kate. It's so true, the tide. Ooh, yeah, coming in and out. That's an awesome observation there. And, oh, sorry, I interrupted you. Were you finished?
No, I was just going to say it looks like Selena's having issues getting online. What a shame. It's Malta for you.
I know. You know, it would be so cool to have her on our show. You know, I just, you know, that would be so cool to have her join us. Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, I remember said, Malta. Sorry, carry on, darling. Carry on.
She did say that it was going to happen soon. So we're crossing our fingers. So, yeah.
I can remember Malta having real problems with her electricity in the sort of 60s, but now it's the electronics that are going on. Oh, what a shame. But that's Malta for you. It's about 50 years behind everywhere else. Wonderful place.
Yeah, you know, the Wi-Fi connection sometimes, you know, and just the phone connections in some parts of the world are just, you know, we're depending on where you live, and sometimes you just have those problems. So what do you have up for us next, Kate?
Next I have Through Sleeping Woods by Barbara Jean. Now, if you just bear with me, I'm trying to find, oh, here we are, the other board to put on. I think I forgot the last time. here we are.
Oh, no problem. We get one out of two. That's good.
we definitely get there, but it takes a while. Here we have Through Sleeping Woods by Barbara G. Oh, look at that woodland. I'll read just one if that's okay. I don't know whose turn it is.
No problem.
Yeah. I'm okay. I was just having a little drink. My voice is going. Okay. Jostling through the frozen woods, an earnest creek defies the cold. So set on carving out her route, she never pauses to behold. The tree limbs leaning out above, observe the briskness of her flow, as branches doze in winter's chill, all dusted in new-fallen snow. While mossy banks are frozen stiff, they guard all creatures huddled tight, and as the forest animals sleep, the river rips through winter's bite. Soon she'll burst at spring's rebirth, with melting ice to swell her girth. End poem.
Oh, what a wonderful read there, Kate. That was awesome. I just love this. This reminds me of a Canada here, Quebec. and the little stream that I have right next to my house, you know, going through those winter trees. Of course, you know, replace most of those trees with evergreens because, you know, we're up north here. And, you have the ideal scenery. But, you know, we do have the those kind of trees, too, you know, scattered within the evergreens, but, you know, mostly evergreen up here. But, you know, the just so many beautiful stanzas in this, the tree limbs leaning out above, observe the briskness in her flow as branches doze in winter's chill, all dusted in new fallen snow. Isn't that just beautiful? Oh, the imagery she captures in this poem is just, so beautiful. What a wonderful write to that prompt indeed. Through sleeping woods. Yeah, you know, it's as if, you know, in the winter, it's as if truly as if everything has gone to sleep, you know, as she says, till the burst at spring's rebirth, thing ice to swell her girth. And so true how the rivers, you know, the rivers, the streams, they just overflow or they burst, you know, open in the spring, you know, and that's the ideal time to go fishing in the springtime because, you know, the water level is high and the fish are just there. And yeah, so that, you know, that's the ideal season for fishing. And beautiful, beautiful light. What did you think, Kate?
Well, first of all, yippee for the springtime fishing. I love fly fishing. I adore fly fishing. Unfortunately, what I get is a bush or somebody's hat, but I very rarely get it into the water, which I think is the purpose of fishing. But there we are. So it goes, more practice. This is absolutely beautiful. I mean, you could not have written anything finer for that picture prompt. And I loved it. It was just, it just flowed so beautifully and such a joy to read. So clever, so very clever. I love this one, Barbara. I love them all. I love every one, but I love this one. It's just perfect. So thank you so much for sharing it with us. I'm now looking forward to spring. Has spring been? No, not yet. So thank you so much for your entry. It was wonderful.
I've been looking forward to spring till since after Christmas.
Yep.
I love winter, the snow, Christmas, and then snow go away. You know, I used to love the snow, you know, when I used to ski and everything, you know, and I used to skate and ski and go snowmobiling. And, just play out in the snow. But, you know, when you get older, oh, my gracious, the cold. Oh, no, don't want it anymore. So, yeah. So, Kate, what is our next write going to be?
Next we have Roses Just Want to Be Wildflowers by Mandy 42. That's so cute. A lovely title. Would you care to read that for us?
Yeah, okay, so we're stepping into our contest rights. And yeah, this was our gold winner by Mandy. Yeah. Roses just want to be wildflowers. When I grew roses, they showed me beauty, sprouting from disease, rusted leaves, and sap-sucking aphids. Blue moon was my favorite and red for the first date scent. I pricked my finger pads, one thorn in my temple, blue vein bleeding, violet essence. People see flowers, not thirsty stems or good green dying. just blooms, cuttable things, corsages, better some say, when broken. Ah, just a beautiful, beautiful, right? You know, with a, you know, it has such a deep profoundness to it. You know, it reflects on love, the pain and that you have in life. And, you know, just such a worthy poem, I think, of gold. Adam was the final one to judge that contest, although we did, you know, put in our favorite rites all together. But, yeah, I think Adam did a wonderful job in judging that contest and picking out those, you know, those final, making those final decisions. So, bravo, Adam. Yeah, Eternity's Eclipse, the game by Silhouettes, some trick of sight, you know, just a beautiful, beautiful poem here. You know, a most emotive, deep, powerful write, so beautifully written by Mandy here. You know, when I grew roses, they showed me beauty. Yeah. You know, the beauty of, you know, the beauty, I think, of, you know, the sadness and wonderment and, you know, the good things and the bad things. There can be beauty in the sadness too, I think. So beautifully done, Mandy, indeed. And Kate, what are your thoughts? Hello, Kate. Are you mutating?
I think I have become 75 years old. Sorry. Oh, my goodness. That's three more gray hairs. Okay, I'll get back to when I was being erudite and interesting and everybody was listening. Okay, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I thought it was such a lovely... It's a comment for me on how people wear other people on their lapel like a corsage, basically. That the wonderful things that bloom in the ground and can be seen by many people end up on somebody's lapel as a corsage, dying by inches. So I really relate to this. I'm a flower lover, as in, you know, I can't grow roses. This is what drives me completely mental. They just don't like me, but I love them. So this, for me, was just a beautiful rite. Thank you, Mandy. You brightened my day, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Oh, and we have a guest on the show. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning. I really love this poem, too. I think Mandy did an awesome job. And something about roses, they're so evocative. They always remind me of Mother's Day and first dates, that kind of thing. It's such a powerful symbol.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, so true, Bill. Yeah, awesome, awesome, awesome comment there. And thank you so much for joining us. Wow. This is really a privilege to have you on the show. And can
you
stay for a while?
Thank you for allowing me to participate.
Yeah, can you stay for a while, Bill?
I really appreciate all the things you all do to keep poetry at the forefront. I think you're awesome. And I don't know how much they're paying you, but it's not enough.
Oh, well, you know, we do it because we love it. Not we don't get paid. We just do it for you know, because we love it, and you know, you know, it just makes it well, for me, it just fills me with joy to read all this wonderful poetry from everybody. So just wonderful.
Well, in a world that's so fraught with political division right now and conspiracy theories, it's so refreshing to me to know that there are some still care about poetry and try to keep it in the minds of others. So I think you all are awesome.
Oh, thank you so much, Bill. And thank you, you know, thank you for writing and thank you for being such a, you know, for being with us. We're so happy. And yeah, can you, what I was going to ask is, can you stay, did you answer that? Can you stay for a while, Bill, or are you in some kind of hurry?
This is the only meaningful thing I have to do today.
Oh, cool. So we'll see. We'll kidnap you and keep you with us. Okay. So, Kate, what will be our next write?
Hello, Bill Lovell. Nice to see you. We're glad you could join us. At the moment, we have Larceny. Oh, hang on. I think my stupid system is playing games on me again. One moment, let's try this again. Could somebody sing a song? Oh, yeah, here we are. Larceny by Gott Lind. And, Bill, as is our custom, as you are our latest victim, person to phone in, would you like to read this one? Would you like to read this one for us?
Yeah, give me just a moment. Let me pull it up. I'm coming right back, okay? I'm just
going
to reboot my computer. This will just take a moment.
That's okay. We've got plenty of time while I get myself organized here as well. This will be a time to refresh my page, actually, because I generally don't remember to do it. Oh, there we have it. Oh, cool. Very good. Da-da-da-da. I'm singing away here, don't worry. I tell you what, I'll just carry on reading this one because I don't want you to be hassled, Bill. I don't want you to feel under pressure. Just relax. And it's very short anyway, so I shall read it. It's Larceny by Gott Lind. I've written
should
my
I be
story.
Seeing this link in the message board for the group?
Yeah, Brevity.
Yeah, it's in it. Either in Brevity Writers or in LNP, Late Night Poets.
I'm in the LNP message board right now, but I don't see the link.
Maybe you have to refresh. Age.
Yeah, let me refresh and see what happens.
I'm just going to carry on reading this, Bill, okay? So don't worry
you
about
can
it.
You can catch the next one, Bill.
Yeah. Okay. I've written my story in the shadow of another hand with a biased, jaded scrawl like distorts my reality, translating my truth with its power to send reason into chasms and chism that cause my unpretentious onyx ink to bleed red. End poem.
Oh, what an awesome, you know, awesome poem. I've written my story in the shadow of another hand, right there, you know. We have this song in French here in Quebec. I write you from my left hand, the one that the la main gauche, the one that couldn't say, or, you know, doesn't know the. You know, or shakes and trembles. This makes me think of that song. You know, this is so beautifully written. And, you know, the end, you know, she ends it with those three words, to bleed red. You know, such a beautiful write. Bill, did you get it up?
Pardon me?
I'm still in the Late Night Poets message board, but I don't see the link for Larceny.
I'll post it again. Do you see it now?
Let's see.
Kate, what did you think of this poem?
Oh, I found it. Yes. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, I'll leave you read it. I'll get Kate to comment while you read over it, Bill. Kate.
Okay.
Kate. Yeah.
Yes, my dear, I'm here. Yes, this is,
yeah.
Wow. This is, woohoo. I've got myself a little bit lost, actually. I don't know if, no, I must have put it in. I'm reading it. Okay. Yes, it is so powerful. I'm sorry I couldn't pronounce that, the word after chasms, and I can't say that properly. I do apologize. I got lilt. I didn't mean to muck it up, but anyway, it was beautifully written, apart from me not being able to read it properly. I like with a biased, jaded scrawl that distorts my reality. Translating my truth was its power to send reason. Yeah. And the ink turns red. I thought it was very profound, actually. I like that. Makes me think. And I really enjoyed the whole thing. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, indeed. And Bill, did you get a chance to read over it?
Yes, yes. I've gone over, and I'm loving this. For me, this is absolutely relatable to any writer. They would get the gist of what she's saying here. I've written my story, she has, in the shadow of another hand, because I think we can all relate to sometimes we write something and we think, where in the heck did that come from? That's not me. But I think that she she conveyed that in a powerful way. And I think it's very true for many writers, not only the thing about writing in the shadow of another hand, but in the second stanza where she says, translating my truth with its power to send reason into chasms and schisms. And I think that's something else writers can relate to, how sometimes they start going down the path of intention with what it is they're trying to put together, and it takes sometimes strange turns downward and outward into weird realms that are totally devoid from what we initially planned. I can relate to that. And then sometimes looking at it and say, where in the heck did that come from? And I never imagined this going that direction. I get it. I love this. And sometimes our ink does bleed red because it just gets a little too deep into, you know, this is I'm sorry for blabbing. I don't mean to. You know, writing is one of the, this is why writers are so much weirder than the rest of people. Most people have terrible memories or terrible experiences that they just want to forget. And here comes the crazy writer who dwells on those experiences and those feelings in a way that most people would avoid. And in the recall of those sometimes very tragic experiences, the ink can become as blood, because we just bleed our souls out for other people to do what they will with it. And to me, it's almost something contradictory that in some of the – I read a poem the other day from someone who was writing about being abused, and it was so painful to get through, I couldn't even write what a great job at the end of it, because it seemed the wrong way to respond to what I read. But the other thing is, as much as sometimes we read for entertainment or amusement, it's hard sometimes to read things and know this shouldn't be meant for entertaining others or amusing. I can understand why it would be cathartic, which I think is what, you know, is a goal behind a lot of the things we write. But when I put what's the writer here, and I contrast it with the title, Larceny, I mean, this is another thing writers do. I mean, we sometimes embellish and in the want to add some sort of aesthetic to whatever we're conveying, it's not always real. You know, I hope that makes sense. I don't want to think of it as a lie outright, but it, writers do lie.
I think perhaps they don't so much lie as embellish, or they write fiction. I don't think, unless they say to you what perspective they're writing in, I don't think we can make that judgment, because I've written things that were painfully true, and I've written things that were complete and absolute fabrication. They're all taken the same way, you know, so... I take your point, and can I also say that I would love you to comment on some of my poetry, because you do it so wonderfully, in depth and with a lot of thought. So that for the future, please, if you could, I would love it. And back to you, Naomi. Are you muted?
Oh, yes. Muted, muted, muted. Yeah, thank you, Bill. That was an awesome, you know, a delve into, you know, what a poet's mind, for sure. So thank you so much. Awesome comment there. And what will be our next write,
okay.
Kate? And I just want to say hello to Stelina and Hope on the board. Hi, girls, and thank you so much for hanging with us this afternoon, this morning, and or this afternoon or this evening, wherever you are in the world. And, you know, we so appreciate it, you know. So thank you so much for being there, girls. And carry on, Kate.
I certainly will. Oh, and by the way, welcome back, Stelina. I'm so sorry you're having this problems. And hello, Hope. Lovely to see you there. Oh, Bill, I was going to ask you, do you have a write on the board that I could find for you?
I put anything up there. Thank you, though. I'm pretty sure I don't have anything that I put up on the board.
That's absolutely fine. That's not a problem. I just didn't want to miss it, and I couldn't find anything. So thank you anyway. And I'll just get on to the next piece of poetry. And here we
have... I'm just here to listen today.
Oh, good. Oh, no, you've got to make comments. And The Dove Was Pierced by Becky Upchurch. Let me just make sure I've got that everywhere. Well, working two boards can be a little bit difficult. I'm sure I've done this twice. So we have And The Dove Was Pierced by Becky Upchurch. And Naomi, would you care to read this for us?
Yeah. And The Dove Was Pierced by Becky Upchurch. And, you know, she wrote to that same prompt that, you know, our Gottlit, our last poet wrote to. So you can see that, you know, shadowed hand there, you know, in the prompt. Okay, so this is And the Dove Was Pierced. She took off directionlessly. She took off directionless, as an escaped caged bird, vulnerable, but her wings did work. She began to write the sky, found that a tight pen pierced open freshly, made scars of the past. So she spread her wings further to better hold the pen for reflection, and became a dove to the world, but a poet to one. Oh, wow, what a wonderful write to that chosen prompt. And Bill, were you able to see that write?
Yes, I've been reading it. I figured out what I'm doing now. Yes.
So you'll be able to help us read then. Great. And what are your thoughts on the poem, Bill?
I think, again, that this is very reminiscent of a writer, in this case, how sometimes we start without any idea of where we're going, like this bird that is directionless. And I like the way the play on words in that third line, that this was a caged bird that escaped, and it's still vulnerable. And even though it was caged, subdued, it still had this ability to escape, and which is what writing is sometimes for all of us. We might be caged in our jobs, in our marriages, communities, whatever it is, but we have this one talent that's allows to escape, as vulnerable as we may be, and the wings still work, which is, you know, the thing we use to fly away, which maybe is our writing or our music or art, whatever it is, sex, TV, food, listening to Naomi's voice, whatever it could be. And again, in the second stanza, the juxtaposition of holding a tight pen and writing such that it pierces scars of the past. That goes right back to what I was saying earlier, how sometimes we write things that are very painful that most people would rather forget.
Oh, indeed. Awesome, awesome comment there, Bill. And Kate, your thoughts.
This was a very powerful write. I really enjoyed all of it. You can be caged for such a long time, and then suddenly, unexpectedly, the doors and the windows are open now, allowing you to fly. But that can be a very, very scary choice to make. You're better the devil you know, is the old saying. But the fact that you take that opportunity just to basically grow, yes, I think is wonderful. And I agree, poetry, writing stories is not the same thing. I write a lot of stories, but poetry is completely different to me. Maybe not to everybody else, but to me, because you can put together concisely within four lines or eight lines or whatever you choose, something that's bothered you or worried you or whatever, or you want to get out. And you can do that in poetry so easily. And yes, it's cathartic, but also it lets people know that they're not alone, that there are people who can't spread their wings. There are people who can't make that escape because they're too terrified. So yeah, it's a wonderful weapon, poetry, I think, and let's have more of it. So thank you very much, Becky. I really enjoyed that.
Awesome comment there. And I want to say hi to Kitty, the naughty poet, who has joined us on the board. Hi, Kitty. And, wow, cool. And congrats on your new baby daughter, Kitty. Wow, I hope you're having fun with the little one. So congratulations again. So cool. And, a new birth of a baby. It's so much fun. Just a wonderful part of life. So congrats on that. And so what will be our next poem, Kate?
Next we have Molted Wings, Drop Bodies to Paper by Freya. Now, Bill, would you like to read this for us?
Yes, I'm here on the message board just looking for the link.
Okay, okay. That's always the hard part. That's always the very difficult part.
Is this the one Reginald the Great?
No. Freya. Molted wings drop bodies to paper.
Molted wings.
It's okay, love. It's okay. I'll read it. Don't worry yourself about it. It's not a problem. Here we go. Okay. Molted wings drop bodies to paper by Freya. As insects, we kissed silent. Molted bodies fall on white space. Fountain pen shadows, vagrant moon. Reading glass, they forget silver backbone. Polar air, so cold. I love you, the drop wings, falling tragic virgin snow. Northern lynx, circles Polaris. Paws too big for a keyboard. We avoid cities of blind dwellers. We think us wolves in mink coats. End poem.
Oh, wow. You know, this is a, you know, I just love Freya's writing. She has such beautiful way to put in, you know, such amazing metaphors in her write. And, you know, her writes are always so, so profound. You know, we avoid cities of blind dwellers who think us wolves in mink coats. Just a beautiful write, you know, just to breathe in that unpolluted air, you know, just amazing, amazing write here. So deep and thought-provoking for sure. Bill, did you have a chance to read it, my dear?
Yes, I'm looking at it. I see it now. And I think one of the genius people who can write like Freya is how they can use, they don't need a plethora of language and long lines, which I am very guilty of most occasions. So I don't know if anyone can see this poem as I'm seeing it, but they'll see that each line is more or less composed of two words or three words. And for all the brevity of that, there are just millions of images and intimations that come to mind. You know, as insects, we kissed something so small that you can't hear it, which is, you know, interesting to me. And when I reflect on the title, Molted Wings Drop Bodies to Paper, it's like something from ourself falling onto this thing, which is, I guess, words, you know, and a fountain pen shadows vagrant moon. It makes me think of something that eclipses this light in the sky. I'm just amazed at the brevity in this and how much it still is able to convey in a very simple and majestic manner. That's all I have to say about Freya. She's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, indeed. Awesome, awesome comment there, Bill. And you're finally looking into Late Night Poets, the group there, to find the poems, Bill.
Yes, I'm. Okay. I'm on the message board, and the very last thing I see is from Naomi, which is the title of this poem.
Yeah.
And now I should maybe move to the next page.
Yeah, well, no, just stay on that page, but you know the little inbox on the top there, where it's written inbox. Just press on that every once in a while so that your page refreshes, and so you'll see the new writes as Kate puts them up. And Kate, your thoughts on this poem?
Oh, it was absolutely beautiful. I really enjoyed it. I, like Bill, envy people who can condense their thoughts into two or three line on a piece of poetry. It's beautifully done. Yes, I like Northern Lynx Circles Polaris. That's just so nebulous. It's wonderful. Pause Too Big for a Keyboard. I mean, that's excellent as well. So I think this is one of my favorites of Freya's. I think it's just because it's so concise, but gives you so much within it. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Freya.
Thank you. Awesome comments, Kate. And what will be our next write, Kate?
Your guess, my darling, is as good as mine. No, here we are. We're getting there. I think I put things up twice or haven't put things. Oh, don't worry. I'll get the hang of this eventually. But it's the two boards. It kind of throws you a little bit. So bear with me, people.
Yeah, well, I can put the links into the Late Night Poets if you want me to.
No, no, it's okay. You're doing well enough that you're getting people to talk and stuff. So <that's fine>.
And stuff. Yeah, I'm strutting my stuff.
I'm so elegant. I'm so elegant in my prose. I astound myself. Oh, sorry. Okay, we have the next one up. And the next one is, now, let's see. Is this going to be third time lucky, Bill? What do you think? The Giant of Castle Oil by S. Sharp.
I got it right in front of me.
Yay! We're so happy for you. Okay, go for it, big boy. Oh, sorry. Oh, I'm getting more. Go for it.
I'm so happy to read something by Scott Sharp because I think he's one of the best poets I have found on the All Poetry platform. He always impresses. So this poem by Scott is called The Giant of Castle Knaw. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's Castle Knaw, not Castle No, correct? I'm going to say Castle Knaw. So here's his poem. Puppets tie themselves in the strings of darkness on a stage enveloped by tyranny. At the fountain of Enceladus, in the Garden of Versailles, the light of free choice illuminates, gathers one up to live amongst the heavens, a giant in a world of midgets. The Giant of Castle Knaw shall rule over all forever. Thank you, Scott.
Awesome. Awesome read there. That was just beautiful, Bill, that reading. And I am going to go and see what the Giant of Castle Knaw is. The Giant of Castle Knaw refers to three bone fragments, a humerus, tibia and femoral midshift. Oh, that's weird. I didn't have the good one. The Giant of Castle Knaw is a legend of giants permeate folklore of cultures around the world. The ancient Greeks and Gignates who were born on Gala Earth when blood from the castrated Uranus sky fell on the Earth. So, yeah, that makes more sense. So, yeah, wow. And there's a reference to Goliath and David, Goliath as being one of those giants but it's a reflection on the legend of giants from the Norse mythology. So, wow, good. I think Scott did a little bit of research to write this poem, which is awesome. And, I remember this prompt that he wrote to, which was, two people pulling, this person, whether towards the light or towards the darkness, I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, those two hands are like giant hands. And what did you think of the right that you just read, Bill?
Well, I feel convicted of my idiocy because I wish I knew that those legends of Castle Knowe. But on the other side of that, I have to concede that one of my favorite things in reading is when I learn something and or come across a word I haven't heard before. And I'm very learned. So right now I'm just a little angry with myself for not knowing some of this stuff better. The other thing Scott did so well is how he shifted in this journey from something very dark to something beautiful and was able to make his points. You know, it starts with talking about puppets tie themselves in strings and of darkness, and it forces one to ponder, what is that darkness? Maybe it's the being pulled by strings and controlled by something. So I understand that. And I just marvel at the way he expressed that, because he never used the word control, but we can certainly understand the idea of puppets being tied within strings on a stage that's enveloped by tyranny. I mean, that's basically what's happening with these puppets. They're being manipulated on a stage for others' enjoyment. How sick is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they go towards the light of free choice that it eliminates them.
And it allows one to go up amongst the heavens. So when I read that, I think, what's on the other side? If the light of free choice allows one to go up and live amongst the heavens, for me, the opposite of that means the darkness of manipulation descends one into the depths of hell. But, there's a certain innuendo that comes across. If this is what free choice can do, here's the other thing that happens when you don't have it. So I love how, because when I read this, it makes me reflect on what's on the other side. If we don't have this, what is it we get in the absence of that? Does that make sense?
Oh, yes.
It sure does. Awesome, awesome comment there. And, a great, great, profound write and very witty and clever write from Scott here. And, I understand how come it was one of our winners because, such a complete and clever write here all through. Great job, Scott. Wow. Such a thought-provoking piece indeed. And Kate, your thoughts? Hello, Kate?
Hello, I'm here again. Sorry. can you hear me? Oh, I hope not. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, hello. Hello, Kate. We hear you.
I must have a fault. I mean, I know I've got lots of faults, but I must have a fault on my mic. How annoying. Okay, anyway, I'm here. Yes, I remember the picture you're talking about, I think, the hand and the person upon being pulled by strings at one side, and I can't quite remember exactly, but I do remember that picture. And this feeds on that so well. It is a dilemma. I mean, everybody should have the the opportunity to have free choice, but there should be something in place that means that you can have free choice as long as you don't hurt anybody else. That's kind of how I think about it. We all need to be able to do what makes us feel better or happy, but not at the expense of anybody else. That kind of works for me. So this I enjoyed very much. The giant didn't quite get away with everything they wanted to get away with, and which is always good. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's very profound, and I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Kate. And I want to say hi to Nuno on the board who just joined us. So, wow, I'm so happy to see so many people on the board. Oh, my gracious, isn't that awesome? So, Kate, what will be our next write?
Next we have Child Star by, hang on, I've lost. Child Star, there we are. Child Star by Cedar Chapman. I think I'll read this one because I haven't read for a little while. My voice is going, so let's get some more. Oh, that picture. I love that picture. So cool. Okay. Child Star. Black wings sag her eyes, the weight of womanhood bearing on her child body, nose ornament chained to camera shutters and flesh magazines. Cherry lipstick masked as chrysalis but unborn, bound in a silk veil, she shall break free. Flutter her iridescent spiraled wings over sunny fields where daisies smile and children giggle, roaming to wherever the spring winds blow. End poem.
Oh, this is just a magnificent write. Just the idea that she breaks free and gets away on her own and becomes totally falls into herself. But the imagery in this poem, I mean, Cedar Chapman is one of my favorite poets. I have to admit, among so many others, of course. But, this rite just flows beautifully, and so wonderfully written to that prompt. Black rings sag her eyes, the weight of womanhood bearing on her child body. Right away he sets the mood for what he's talking about there. But I just love cherry lipstick mask, a chrysalis unborn, bound in a silk veil, she shall break free. The following there. Just a beautiful, beautiful write by Cedar Chapman here. And which made front page pick, by the way. And, isn't that, I'm just so amazed when, you run a contest, you put up prompts, and then the people that they write for a prompt, and they get a front page pick. Oh, that just, I just feel so, awesome about that. And, Kate, your thoughts on this write? Hello, Kate. She's mutating. Bill, what are your thoughts? Did you get the poem?
Yes. I too was very impressed with the elements within her. I think there are some basic things I tend to look for in poetry or that resonate with me. And, this poem is full of it, like these little techniques and alliteration, assonance. And like when she said the weight of womanhood, and that's just got an interesting ring to it that kind of sticks in your ear. And the idea of being bound in the silk, which, normally you would think, for me, this is a kind of a clever idea about how even something that's very beautiful and delicate to the touch can be the very thing that enslaves you or binds you. I thought that was really clever how she expressed that. And it goes perfect with the message in her writing here.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Awesome, awesome comment, Bill. And Bill, well, we're both of us. Like Weaver was thrown out of the show. I don't know. She probably has technical problems. She'll be back shortly. Do you see that our next write-up, Bill, by Red Candy is best, called Blank Page?
Yes, Blank Page. Yes,
yeah,
I'm looking
could
at
you
it now.
Read that? Could you read it for us, please?
Yes, this is by Red Candy is best. It's called Blank Page, and it goes like this. I'm a gargoyle with the hands of a lady. Pink flesh, raw from a 3-hour shower. I cold-shouldered the blank page, but let my pruned fingers squeak my pain on the bathroom tiles in big loopy letters and screamed at the moldy grout, soiling the white ceramic, flick off the light. Even my shadow is appalled.
Wow, awesome, awesome, right. You know, I cold-shouldered the blank page, but let my pruned fingers squeak my pain on the bathroom tiles. Wow. You know, this is so, at another front page pick, by the way. And, you know, this is so deep and so dark of a write, but, you know, so emotive, you know, the how she just and screamed at the moldy grout, soiling the white ceramic, flick off the light, even my shadow is appalled. You know, this is amazing. And right to the title, Blank Page, Red Candy is best, the author of this. Just an amazing, amazing write. Another awesome poet here on All Poetry. You know, we have so many talented writers here. We're just, you know, so privileged. My gracious. And Bill, your thoughts on this write that you just read?
Yeah, I like some of the contradictory ideas expressed in this, starting right from the beginning, that something which would normally be frightening or terrifying, though I think Red Candy is best, is not frightening at all. But it starts by saying, I'm a gargoyle with the hands of a lady, which seems kind of contradictory. Is something frightening with these delicate hands? And pink flesh turned raw from a 3-hour shower. Why do you women have to take such long showers? Oh, forgive me. I don't want to sound sexist. I'm not sexist, but I'm familiar with waiting for the shower because someone is preoccupying it for too long. And the idea of the gargoyle with the hands of a lady ties perfectly in with this white ceramic tiles that are being overcome by moldy grout. I think that's an interesting juxtaposition in itself, and it goes perfectly with the gargoyle reference, something that is seemingly spotless and beautiful in a sense, but it has this particular thing going on that is trying to overcome the beauty of those tiles. Just like when you turn off the light, subdues a shadow such that the shadow is appalled in the darkness. I'll reflect on that last line the rest of the day, the idea of a shadow being appalled by darkness when it in itself is dark in the light, a shadow. But it can't stand the blackness of when the light is flicked off. That, I think, you can even write an entire poem around the idea of flicking off the light such that the shadow is appalled. I think Red Candy could do a whole other series of writings around that one idea alone, because it's so powerful a thought.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Awesome comment there, Bill. And, yeah, and welcome back, Kate. Hello, Kate? Hello, my dear. She dropped again. Oh, my gracious, she's really having problems today. Poor Kate. She must be in a frenzy. Oh, my gracious, she must be so, I worked up. Okay, so I went and put up the next write, which is by Forgotten Dream, which is called Totality, and I'll go ahead and give this one a read. He whispers prose like orisons, sugared letters mingled with his spiced, minty breath, washing over me like a spring shower, nose taps, a gentle rapping, closed lips part like a gate, luring, crackling mouth grazes mine, and I fall to pieces, my silhouette a trembling sketch, waiting for sturdy hands to fill in missing spaces. Oh, wow. You know, Forgotten Dream, another awesome, awesome poet. I mean, come on. This is just amazing. You know, the way she caught the emotion in this piece and, you know, through all her imagery here, just amazing imagery, sugared letters mingled with the spice. Minty breath. That is just gorgeous. What did you think, Bill?
Well, beyond the mastery of language in this, there is such descriptive prowess. And she packed a lot of detail in those descriptions. But the other thing that comes across for me is this tones of sensuality, which is in a very classy way at that. I find this, there's a lot of romantic sentimentality in this with sensual aspects.
Yeah, an amazing comment there. Indeed, I agree, Bill. And Kate, are you back? No, I guess not. So I'll just go and try and find our next write. Okay. And pop it in. Okay, this is going to be by Darkened Oris. And Bill, do you see that one?
I got it right here in front of me.
Okay,
and
so give it a read.
Oh, yes, this is a fine bit of brevity by Darkened Auroras, and it goes like this. I wish to walk the path of light, for it has no strings attached, but I'm being tugged by strings I've made, a puppet dancing for the Lord of Darkness. He tempts the mind with wondrous things. Then your soul is snatched.
Oh, what a wonderful read. And what a wonderful write. Oh, my gracious, you know, a puppet dancing for the Lord of Darkness. He tempts the mind with wondrous things. Then your soul is snatched by scratch. You know, powerful words and such a powerful words, powerful thought made in, you know, in such few words here by Dark and Doris, and excellent, excellent brevity. And what are your thoughts, Bill?
I think this resonates with relatability. there's a poetic line for you. I think it's so relatable because we can all know the experience of wanting to do the right thing, like walking in the path of light, as Dark and Aurora says in the very first line, and the path of light has no strings attached. It's available for us to walk in and enjoy without cost. You know, it's so much easier sometimes just to stay on the right side of things by walking in the path of light. But what Dark and Aurora goes on to say is, you know, as much as one may want to walk in the path of light, that sometimes we have our own strings that we've made and tied to ourselves, again, whether it's in the form of lust or greed, gluttony, whatever it could be. So as much as we want to walk in the path of light, sometimes we have our own aspects to our character that makes it impossible, because we allow those things to still control us. That's what I'm taking away from Dark and Aurora's writing, and I understand that. And you know, as much sometimes as I want to do the right thing, I often fail. Matter of fact, I fail more often than not, as some of my friends will be glad to share.
yeah, awesome, awesome. Yeah, well, I think we all do, you know, at certain points in our life. So, yeah, very relatable, right, for sure, by Dark and Doris here. And Kate, you're back at last.
Oh, I hope so. Can you hear me?
yeah. Loud and clear, my dear.
Oh, my goodness.
So Go ahead.
We keep forgetting this 7-second delay, don't we? I was going to say that I had to move everything from one room to another because my laptop decided to lock itself. Why would it do that? That's just not acceptable. Anyway, over to you, darling. On you go.
Well, I just put up the next right. Kate, so to say, you know, because I knew you'd be coming in and be, so I put up the next write by Babbler there at till you get settled in and everything, and I'll just let you catch up on where we are on the reading list there, and I'll go ahead and give this one a write. And this was written to a prompt where a person was inside of a light bulb and they were trying to get out and the light bulb was like cracking. They were like imprisoned inside. So light bulb prison cell. You had big plans for me, fantasies of who I would be, brilliant, beautiful, foster mother of your abandoned dreams, trapped beneath a plush cage. All my light a prisoner to ideas I'm supposed to be. Are you who your mother planned? Or did that lamp fizzle out too? Maybe that part of me is most like you. Oh, you know, what an awesome, profound right here to the prompt. That, you know, I just love Babbler's straightforward, raw, real writing that is often inspired from, you know, her personal life. And, you know, here she talks about, you know, like, are you who your mother planned? Or did that lamp fizzle out too? Maybe that part of me is most like you. Are you like what, you know, your parents planned for you? Or, you know, it's just wonderful that this right, deep, profound, and very thought-provoking. Did her mother abandon her dreams also, like, you know, her daughter did? So very well done indeed. And Bill, your thoughts on Babbler's poem?
Yes, I agree with you about the profound and provocative nature of this writing, but I also believe it's courageous. It's courageous in its self-reflection and self-questioning. You know, I mean, it's a challenging thing to ponder. Are we the kind of person our parents wanted us to be or had planned for us to be? That intrigues me that someone had the courage to dwell on those kind of thoughts and confront it. It's not easy.
Oh, indeed.
And even the idea of being trapped inside a light bulb, which we associate with ideas and eureka moments of inspiration. And it kind of reminds me of that story in Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, how we can get so lost in an idea that it overwhelms us and we become trapped in that inspiration or trying to define it, identify it. Yeah, Dabbler, you're not dabbling here. You're going direct to the heart.
Oh, indeed.
That's my take.
Awesome. Awesome comment there, Bill, you know. Yeah, right on point. Babbler doesn't waste a word. She does go straight to the point and makes an amazing effect, an amazing statement in her rights, and very thought-provoking, very relatable rights to everyone, I think. And Kate, your thoughts, my dear.
Oh, yes, this is a perfect light bulb prison cell. I think this, yes, we all want to make our parents proud, but there's this generation gap thing. It's been there forever. I don't think we ever will get rid of it. There's that point in your life when you swear you will never become like your parents ever, and then you hear their words coming out of your mouth. So disconcerting. But no, we can't. Yeah, you remember it, don't you? I think there must be nothing worse than trying to strive for acceptance or even love, not to have it reciprocated and feel you've failed. I don't know, is that a parent's job to make you feel like that? I don't know. I mean, I had a despicable childhood, so I can't really talk about mothers. But I think my children benefited from my awful childhood because I allowed them freedom to make their choices, because we do not learn unless we try. I was always there to mop up, there to say, you know, it'll get better, whatever. But if they need my advice, they'll ask, and that's kind of how I like it. That they don't have to feel that they have to live up to any of my expectations. And to be perfectly honest, they're absolutely fabulous, far better than I could ever be. So, you know, that's great. So I thought this was so profound, and it was beautifully written and so from the heart. So yes, thank you so much for sharing that, Babbler. I really enjoyed it.
I'm just looking at the time there. 10:30 to 11:30 to 12:30. Okay. I panicked there for a while, you know, because this is a new time. So, I was there. Oh, my goodness, we went a half an hour over time. But, no, I think Pam would have said something. it's the show ends at 12:30. Okay. My gracious, Naomi. Oh, boy. And, carry on, Kate. What will be our next poem?
Oh, I can so relate to that. I'm actually looking at my time, which says 1 minute past five. So we're all in the twilight zone. Oh, my goodness. Right, okay, we have light and dark. Have I got that in there? Got it in that one. And here we have it. I won't be a moment. Just be with you in a second. I'm just so frazzled. There we have. Now, light and dark we have. Did everybody see that? Is everybody looking at the same page? I like. Okay, I'll read this one because I'm full of nervous energy. I need to do something. Light and dark. No one promised us that it would be all sunny on this side of life. Surely there would be some dark, cloudy days. We don't have to think life is hard, but like everything else, look on the bright side. Take the sun and add brightness and color wherever you go. Likewise, take the cloudy night and add warmth and a sense of peace. End poem.
Oh, what a wonderful read there, Kate. And it's so true, this right. No one promises that everything will be sunny. You know, it's so true. And, you know, she has hope. She has words of wisdom in this poem, Talia does. You know, take the sun, add brightness and color wherever you go. And likewise, take the cloudy night and add warmth and a sense of peace. That's so beautifully said. Just such awesome, beautiful thoughts put into this poem. Wonderfully done, Talia. And Bill, your thoughts?
Yes, this conjures all kinds of ideas for me. And the first is, during COVID, when my grandchildren were out of school, I started telling them we're creating Grandpa's School of Hard Knocks, the home school of hard knocks. And the very first lesson was, isn't fair. Because kids will always say, oh, that's not fair. That's not fair. Like that's supposed to be something they should expect. So I've told mine, there is no such thing as fairness. And you should never look for it or expect it because life is not fair. And no one promised that it would be all sunny, just as Talia has said in her first line here. And yes, there will be some dark, cloudy days. You should expect it. And, I think this is, sometimes one of the contrasts between Western thought and Eastern thought, because in Eastern philosophy, the predominating idea is that life is difficult, not that life is fair and sunny. They start off with the idea that life is dark. Even though Talia here says we don't have to think life is hard, but like everything else, look on the bright side. And even if it can be hard, yes, there's another perspective we can take. I have gotten so sick of hearing people say it is what it is, because that's not true. It is what we make it. And Talia more or less asserts the same point in this, that we have options. We can take the sun and add brightness and color where we go, or we can take the night, the cloudy night, and give it elements of warmth and peace. So it's not it is what it is. It is what we make it. It is what we decide to do with it. And we do have choices, no matter how good or bad things are. There are choices coming across for me. This is a beautiful rite. It's short and, again, to the point, and expressed magnificently. Way to go, Talia.
Wonderful, wonderful comment there, Bill. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, I agree totally. I mean, there are so many different outlooks on life from so many different people. You have your genes to contend with. You have your nature versus nurture to contend with. So if you are one of these people that can see the bright side, that is absolutely wonderful and what everybody should hope to strive for. Just not always that easy. That's the problem, isn't it? I know that life isn't fair, but sometimes it's less fair to some people than to others. And that, you know, if we were all in the same boat, wonderful. We could all shake hands and say, what a wonderful world. But unfortunately, it's not a wonderful world. And this piece of poetry makes me think, yes, I mean, I do look on the bright side anyway. I'm quite lucky that way. I don't ever get fed up or depressed. But this just makes me feel happy that there is someone who can look at life and say, it may be a little bit dark. Let's turn the lights up. Let's put some more lights on. I thought it was beautifully written. A lovely sentiment, Talia. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing.
Wonderful, wonderful comment there, Kate. And what will be our next write, Kate? Oh, I just want to say hi to Amy, who just joined us on the board. Hi, Amy. And So carry on, Kate. Hello, Kate.
Hello. Are you still there?
Hello. Yeah.
I put something up twice. I'm really having a good day. So that's, you get twice this piece of poetry. Oh, for goodness sake. Okay. This is Light Bulb Prison Cell. Oh.
10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Has this already been on? No? Light Bulb Prison Cell? Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it has.
So just ignore
but
that
you
one.
You put up one, The Prisoner, though, by Maggie M. I think it hasn't been on.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Light Bulb Prison Cell. That's the one I meant to put up. Why have I put up something else? I don't know. So anyway, Naomi, would you like to read this while I gather my thoughts and string myself up with my tie?
Yeah, okay. So this is by Maggie M., The Prisoner. A prisoner, world-weary man of misery. His eyes are dry, but inside he cries, if only I could hold him tight, turn darkness bright, wish with all might and power he would leap from these pages and save me. In his presence I would cower, unfold like a flower, make him forget about his quest for the tower. You know, they're just amazing. You know, there's so much, so many metaphors in this, right? And she really, you know, sees that prompt so well. You see the newspaper in the background with the writings on it, the page. And, you know, save a man from himself, or save, you know, whether it's a man or a woman, save them for their quest for the tower, that ongoing quest for, you know, the ambition, I think, you know, just... you know, going through life without really stopping to enjoy the people that you love, you know, just driven by ambition all the time and, you know, life swooping you up and you work is comes into it, you know, you just work and work and work towards, you know, climbing that tower, gaining that tower, you know, overcoming that tower. That's what I get out of it anyway. So just an amazing write here by Maggie M. What are your thoughts, Bill, on this write?
Yes, it's resonates loudly with me too, because I think sometimes it takes someone outside of ourselves to see us as we are. And she starts off by talking about recognizing a prisoner, and one that's a world-weary man of misery, which is a great turn of phrase on that, world-weary man of misery. It just kind of rolls off the tongue. And this man, his eyes are dry, but she's able to recognize this sadness within him. And then comes the ultimate desire to be able to be the one that could change this man into something else, which is something else, as sexist as it may sound. Why do women do that? Believe, you know, I'm sorry, folks. I don't mean to sound sexist, but I've just been in that situation, you know, where, you know, they fall in love with you for how you are, and then they want to change everything about you, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you, anything, what you watch on TV, the music you listen to. Why did they put us through that? And in this poem, I understand the want. In this case, it's nothing so trivial as I just alluded to. It's something actually significant as being the one that could take this man and alleviate his pain. And I'm glad that she says in the fifth line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, she says in the fifth line, there's like this realization, not that she can actually do it, because she says, if only I could, knowing that there's perhaps an improbability there, that it's a potential. It's if only. And when ifs, ands, or buts become candy or nuts, what a wonderful Christmas we'll all have. So she says, you know, I can see if only I could do this. And I think we've all known people we've wanted to save, but it's important that they want to save themselves as much as we want. Otherwise, it's all futility. And I think in this case, you know, I look, get to the end of it. She's talking about unfold like a flower, make him forget about the quest to the tower. I can see, you know, the expression of how much this means to her, and how that she would tremble in the awareness of that change. And it sounds like in this case, the man is driven by his quest for the tower, which can be, you know, some unfathomable goal that he seems more driven to achieve than maybe what would be beneficial in this interpersonal relationship. I guess this is really targeting me, because last night my son told me that when he was young, there were times where I was so focused on my job or my writing that he felt secondary. And he sure couldn't have saved me in those moments as much as he wanted to.
Oh, Bill, I'm so sorry. I have been there where you are, so I know exactly how you feel. If only. Yeah, carry on, my dear.
I think that's about all I have to offer on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I can so relate, because you know, me too. I was you know, I'm very ambitious in life. Well, less now, you know. I learned to slow down, but And, you know, my children, well, you know, I have a very close relationship with my kids now. But when growing up, I was really, I can't remember when they first walked or when they first did some of their stuff, because I was so focused on just working all the time. And, and I had a relationship with a man, like you had with a woman, Bill, that, you know, didn't accept me as I was. Was very jealous and of my success, whether it was in my studies or it was in my work. He just wanted me to change me. And so I understand where you're coming from there. So, and I really relate to your comment there.
Yeah,
and Kate, what
too.
Are your what was that?
I said, I guess men do it too.
Oh yes, they do. love is, the absolute love is accepting, being able to accept somebody for who they are, I think. And, that is hard to find. And Kate, what are your thoughts on this poem?
Yes, this is another heartfelt right, which I adore. I love people being able to put what they think down and allow other people to understand, perhaps, or remember when it happened to them, or think, I hope it never happens to me. But yes, you wonder what it is he's striving for. I would love to know what it was that he was striving towards, everything else. I tend to be very insular. I can spend a whole day without talking to anybody. So I can understand that. My family and children complain bitterly about the fact that I don't give them the attention they required. So I can understand all of this from both sides. It's good that people can share this kind of thing. And I think it's cathartic, and I think it's a good idea. And as long as we accept everybody for what they are, or what they are trying to pretend they are, and we can accept them when they come out of the pretense and become the people they really are, that's a difficult part, because we all pretend to begin with that we are glowing replicas of what we would want to be, and then gradually as time goes on we revert back to our normal behavior, and sometimes it's not so great. I mean, I've been married 3 times, so it gives you an idea of how intolerant I am. Oh dear. So yes, beautifully written, Maggie M. I really thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for those thoughts, Kate. You're so, it's so true. And what will be our next poem, Kate? Hello, Kate?
Hello, sorry. I'm awful glad you didn't hear what I just said, because it was absolute rubbish. So let's start again. Saved by the mute button. I love it. This is the way it should be. Right, so this is, I think it's Picture 2, Torn in Class, I don't actually know what the title is, so I do apologize, Doc Frank, but that's what we have next. And, I don't know, Bill, do you feel able to read something for us, or would you like a bit more time?
Sure. What is the name now?
It's called Picture 2, Torn, and it's by Doc Frank.
What I'm seeing is a different poem. So it hasn't posted up on the board. There it is. I found it. Now it just came up. Okay. Yeah, it's called Torn. This is by Doc Frank. He's another one I regularly read. A very wise writer. And again, this is called Torn. In an unhappy relationship. Emotional pull from newly met love interest. Torn between two life-altering choices. Having unsuccessfully tried to repair her marriage, she was leaning toward a new love and life. 34 words that tell a whole story. Thank you, Dr. Frank.
Mm-hmm. He captured that prompt so wonderfully, and, you know, I can relate to this so much. You know, this has happened to me over and over and over again. Of course, I had one marriage, and then I said, no, no more marriages, so, you know, but I have had guys in my life and lived together without being married for, you know, long years. But, yeah, starting over and over and over again and trying to find that new love and make a new life. And, you know, sometimes we're just happy to be on our own, too. That's a good thing to learn, to be on our own and live by ourselves and, you know. But, yeah, so I can relate to this very much, you know, because this has happened to me often. And a wonderful capture of that prompt, Doc Frank, for sure. And, Bill, your thoughts?
Yeah, my first thought is I wish people could see the image that inspired this poem, because it shows a picture of a lady and the beam of light, and she's got strings pulling her from one hand as she's looks like she's walking toward an open hand that's coming from the light. So I again with respect to this picture, Doc Frank totally captured the theme in that illustration with his 34 words, with never mentioning reference to a light and a woman holding, going to an open hand. He never said that, but everything he wrote resonates very loudly with the image. I wish people could see it. And otherwise, I relate to this because my mother married and divorced 5 times before I ever got out of high school.
Wow.
And each new guy was going to be the guy. And it seemed like she went from loser to loser. Forgive me, mother. Not that she's listening,
dear.
But if she found out I ever said that, I'd get lectured to no end.
Wow. That's awesome. You know, that's not awesome, but I mean, thanks for sharing that with us, Bill. Great, you know, that's personal to you. And that must have been hard for you for sure, you know, being a child and living.
I think it takes incredible bravery and courage. You know, sometimes we get so content or complacent or lazy in a relationship, and then we just feel trapped in it. And you know, I've never understood why is it that people, when they're in a bad situation, will they stay in it when they know it's wrong for them or it's painful, only to waste half of their life to decide to do something different when all of their youth and vitality has maybe languished away in old relationships that are no longer relevant. Does that make sense? Why stay mm-hmm. trapped in an unhappy relationship, as Dr. Prank says in his first line?
Yeah, I completely understand.
I'm not an advocate
that,
of divorce. But I will say, you know, in this last line, when it says she was leaning toward a new love and a new life, I guess when I read that, it makes me think, I wish all people would lean into a new life and a new love for themselves sometimes and say, not that I deserve, but I demand to be happy. Whether it's in a relationship mm-hmm. or a job, if you're not, get out. You don't have to be trapped. You have choices. Get out of it.
Yeah, I so understand. Okay, I would like to get through two more poems, and we have 5 minutes left. I would like to get Hope's poem on the board and Amy's. So, you know, because they've been waiting for a while here. So we'll, you know, we'll put up their rights and then maybe have one comment each. So I see Amy's on the board. Do you want me to give that a read, Kate?
Yes, my dear, and then I can find the other one. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Spark, I feel the notion knocking through cracked spider up its sides. Darkened palm lays on the glass, form faded by the light. Light bulb shell, its jailer, its mother, and its end. As black fist pounds, it smooths and rounds cracks, spill liquid gold glow, till shattered shell bursts words to swell, awash with newborn flow. Oh, wow. You know, this is another right to that light bulb, you know, that the person captivated inside the light bulb, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, this is just amazing by Amy. Another writer that I so, so admire, Amy, my gracious, A.R. Mundell. You know, just one of our pearls here on the AP for sure. You know, the darkened palm lays on the glass, form faded by the light. Light bulb shelf is jailer, its mother, and its end. She captivated that prompt so in such a creative way. And so you know, with such, you know, it brings such emotion in its through this rite. The till shattered shell bursts words to swell. Just an amazing write by Amy. And Kate, do you have our second write up?
No, darling, I can't find it. What name is it under?
By Hope. Does she have a write? Does she have a write up?
I can't find it. No, I'm sorry. Unless you can find it. I don't have been up and down the board. There's one for Casey.
Okay, put that one up. maybe Hope didn't have a write on the board. I'm not sure she did.
Well, if she has, I do apologize because I couldn't not find it. And now I can't find Casey's either. Sorry, folks. It's, you should get professionals to do this. You know that, don't you? I'm only joking. Here we are. Right. This is just I think wonderful.
I have Casey's right in.
Yeah. Oh, have you? Oh, I've got it yeah. Somewhere. We got it.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to go ahead and give that a read, Kate?
Oh, love to. I would be very pleased to if it ever opens up. It always happens when you don't have much time. Holograms by Casey D. Said you don't believe in love. You always tried to be so tough, but you never quite learned to stand. Secondhand drugs fill you up, but nothing can fill your cup when you're living in a hologram. End poem. Oh, wonderful.
Just wonderful. And Bill, would you like to briefly comment on this poem? Because we only have like a couple of seconds left to the show.
Yes. Yes, there are artistic tones of accusation in this. It says nothing can fill your cup when you're living in a hollow or shallow, in this case, gram, a hologram, shallow gram. It's very artistic. But accusational as well. Fascinating way. So good job, Casey Day. That's my take on it.
Oh, thank you so much, Bill, for being with us today. And, you know, you saved us because Kate went through, you know, technical problems, and I would have been by myself. So thank you so, so much for being there. You know, your awesome comments and everything. And thank you, Kate, as always, for being my wonderful, wonderful co-host. I so love working with you, my dear. And thank you, Pam, for everything you do in the background. And thank you, everybody, for being on the board throughout the show, you know, and sticking by us. It's so much fun to do a show when we have people on the board. It's so much, so encouraging. So thank you so, so much. Thank you, Phil,
thank
you know,
you.
For doing
thank
everything,
you, for everything you
do.
You do.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. It's just our pleasure. And yeah, so thank you, everybody. Thank you, Adam, too. And just a good, a great rest of the day to everybody. And bye, everybody. Have a great rest of the week.
Yes. Bye-bye, everybody.